All right, let's go ahead and get started as a subcommittee. We only have a couple matters that will be heard today, and we do have Senator Wilk here presenting file item three, SJR 16. We will start as a subcommittee, and we do have two items on the proposed consent calendar, file item one, SB 1208, and that's a committee bill with amendments, and then file item two, SB 1289. And we will attend to that as soon as we get our quorum, but in the interim, obviously it doesn't look like I have to sort of set ground rules as to the numbers on each side, because it looks like...
Well, this is such a righteous cause that everybody supports it.
There's no question.
So, yes.
Like most things here, there's unanimous consent, and so we'll let you go ahead and start. This is file item 3, SJR 16, and my understanding is that you will be accepting as author's amendments those amendments proposed on page 13, number 7, subdivision A, page 14, 7, subdivision B. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'm also accepting the six amendments on page 15 and 16.
Very good.
Which adds Haiti, Nicaragua, Sudan, and Honduras to the resolution.
Excellent.
And I want to thank you and your staff for all your work and for our conversation this morning, which led to me accepting those amendments. Just by way of background, in December, like all of us, I think we try to meet with every segment of our community, and I met with a group of residents from El Salvador that live in the Antelope Valley, and they've been here since the 90s through the temporary protected status program. Just listening to their stories, it was just very compelling. I mean, I know the original reason for allowing them to come into the country was the earthquake, but the fact of the matter is, since I've been alive, there's been, you know, civil unrest in that country, and people that I met with have built relationships here. Their children are born here, American citizens. They own businesses, and frankly, I have concerns if they were to be sent back to their country of origin, that they very likely could face torture, murder, a whole host of horrible things. They were obviously devastated to learn that the TPS program had been canceled for the Salvadorans, and scared about returning to their country and be separated from their children who are citizens. And obviously going back there, they'd have no place to live, right, because they've been here over 20 years, or a way to earn a living. And most of them, as I stated earlier, fear violence, gangs, and political unrest. And I think they'd be in grave danger returning. So my goal with SJR 16 was just to put California's concerns for extending TPS for Salvadorans on the radar of Congress and the President. I introduced this measure on January 4th, the second day of the 2018 legislative session, and a full 4 days before the administration took action to end TPS for Salvadorans by September 9th, 2019. As I share with you, I thought there was no way that the administration would even contemplate this, which makes this even more important. I have amended the resolution after the Trump administration's actions to further urge Congress to come up with a legislative solution for establishing permanent legal status for Salvadorans and now these other groups that hold TSPs. Salvadoran TPS holders have already fulfilled many of the requirements for lawful permanent residence. Every day they demonstrate that they have become full members of society through employment, home ownership, and raising their children in the United States, as the prior story I shared with you. If the Trump administration is going to end TPS for El Salvadorans, Salvadorans and others, it must create a permanent solution to residency for them before it is terminated on the 9th of September 2019.
Thank you. And perfect timing. Let's go ahead and establish a quorum.
Jackson?
Here.
Morlock?
Present.
Morlock here. Anderson? Hertzberg? Monning?
Here.
Monning here. Stern? Wykowski?
Here.
All right. A quorum is present, and for our recently joining us, Senator Mawning, that Senator Wilk has agreed to the amendments that will add TPS holders from Nicaragua, Haiti, the Sudan, and Honduras. And I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. The TPS program, as we know, is and has been a humanitarian program, something we as Americans should be very proud of. These holders, as you mentioned, are people, many of whom have been here for decades. They've made their lives here. They're cherished parts of our families and our workplaces and communities. And to terminate these programs really puts them in a terrible and a cruel bind, I think, and forced to split up families, something that I think most of us think would be inconceivable or face uncertain and deeply troubling circumstances. So I would say this resolution takes a slightly lighter touch with regard to the Trump administration's decision to terminate the TPS program than the resolution we'll be hearing from Senator Hueso on the same topic. And while I don't frankly think it fully reflects how personally and vehemently I feel on those decisions, I think that I remember my mother's adage that you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar, and I think this is definitely a more honeyed approach and I think an appropriate one given the situation and the circumstances that I think all of us as Americans before party who feel the compassion and that sense of humanitarianism feel for those neighbors and community members who are faced with this very difficult situation. So I do appreciate what you've done here, and do appreciate your working with staff and with me this morning to sort of expand it, because while El Salvador has had a long history of troubled times, unfortunately so have many of the other countries that are now included in this. So I would like to indicate, and I will mention this when Senator Hueso arrives to introduce and present his resolution, that with the acceptance of these amendments, these two bills are now very, very similar, and I would hope, even though they have different tones and emphases, that the bottom line is that California is urging the federal government to come up with solutions to prevent the uprooting of these people and the return to very dangerous countries. So I hope that, Senator Wilk, you might be willing to perhaps revisit conversations with Senator Hueso in his office and see if we could perhaps unite behind a single resolution to the floor, which I think will make a very strong and I think appropriate statement. So that's my two cents.
I had actually reached out to him before I even introduced mine originally.
Great. Well, perhaps, again, if he were here, I will make that same ask when he does come, because now you have included the same countries, and I think a strong statement, a united statement, really would be the most meaningful. But again, I'll leave that to you. So are there any witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Question, Senator Mawning, and with a motion from Senator Moorlach. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank the author for bringing this forward and for the work with the chair and the committee. As I think is indicated in the analysis, for a country to reach this, for residents of a country to benefit from the temporary protected status, it's a very strict assessment by U.S. State Department, informed by international bodies. I know some of the history from El Salvador. The district I represent has literally a couple generations of refugees who fled El Salvador during the Civil War, their late 70s, 1980s. Since the peace agreement, there's been actually even greater random violence, and some of that traceable to a cycle of folks who ended up in California prisons affiliated with gangs, and then upon deportation took that gang culture with them back to El Salvador. So it connects to some deep historical wounds that continue to manifest themselves in unsafe communities. And when I look at the residents of my district who have made tremendous contributions in the workforce, raised children in our schools, paid taxes, and now many take great pride in the children who have achieved professional positions, educated in our public school systems, but just upstanding tax-paying residents of our communities. So I know you have the same in your district. I'm sorry, I missed your opening comments.
It was powerful.
Absolutely.
But you now, thanks to what, Prop?
Right.
Whatever, you can now see it online. Later.
That's great. Well, again, I thank the author, I thank the chair for helping get this to a point where it has your support, has my support. I was going to gladly make a motion, but the vice chair beat me to it, so I will second the motion, even though we don't do seconds here. But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, if you'd like to close with any...
No, I mean, I couldn't have I've stated it any better than Senator Monning, so I just respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Very good. All right, the motion is do pass as amended to the... excuse me, that it be adopted as amended to the Senate floor. Please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Hertzberg? Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern? Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
We will hold the roll open for the absent members. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very much appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I'll move the consent calendar, right, if that's appropriate now.
Seems appropriate to me. Please. All right. And let's go ahead and call the roll on the consent calendar, which are items 1 and 2. So please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Anderson? Hertzberg? Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern? Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
All right, again, we will hold the roll open on the consent calendar. We have one more author in... is hopefully on his way, so bear with us. So, good afternoon, sir. We are happy to take up your file item 4, and it is, as I understand it, you will be taking the amendments that have been suggested. So, if you'd like to proceed.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I understand, I guess, Senator Wilk is working on a very similar measure, and I applaud that coming from my colleague, and this is... a measure that will again respond to, you know, the temporary protected status decision that was done by the president recently, and you know, I think you've heard plenty of testimony on this, but I'd like to kind of expand a little bit, if I will,
please,
and just simply say that. This is an issue that really gets to a very important moral issue that we're facing now in our time, in our country, that really takes us back in history, in a time where people were being persecuted based on their ethnicity. And this really sounds like ethnic persecution. And it's just an issue that we cannot stand silently and allow happen in our state, especially in a program that's so important like the Temporary Protected Status Program in our country. I just want to remind that everyone that the federal Temporary Protected Status Program provides temporary lawful status and work authorization to people from countries affected by armed conflict, natural disaster, famine, or strife in their home country. And I want to remind people that had these people not given the opportunity to come to our country, most of them would probably be dead. And opening up the, or starting a deportation program, I liken to, you know, the internment camps of the Nazi era, because I don't really see a different outcome when it comes to people's lives. Right now, California is facing some of its lowest unemployment rates. Right now, our economy is on top of the country. The sixth largest economy, potentially looking at a statistical tie with the fifth largest economy. We're a state, but we're doing a lot of things right. And deporting people during a time of prosperity in our state, or any time at all for that matter, is just not good public policy. It's not well thought out. It's not thought out around a plan that is looking out for our state's economy, that it's not looking out for the welfare of people that we have taken an interest in protecting. We as a country have made a promise to this community, and we have delivered on that promise up until this moment. And now we are discarding these individuals that have made California their home and United States their home. These individuals share lower unemployment rates than the general public. They have better safety records than the general public. They're not a threat to our community. Quite the contrary. They are very welcome members of our community that are providing, that are contributing constructively. And I think this is one of those issues where we need to take a stand as a state, send a message to Washington that this is wrong, that we don't want to be part of this horrific, horrific idea, that we stand for something that's bigger and better. And I'm asking that you join in supporting me and sending this message to Washington and providing a little bit of educational information to them that I think will be useful to them. We have added that to our resolution, to our bill, so that this information hopefully can be used for, you know, a better motive. I hope to count on your support, and in addition to supporting this, also extending a message to our community that we don't want to be part of this very, very dark agenda that's unfolding at the national level, and that we stand for better values. Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you. Senator, witnesses in support?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Christopher Galliano, and I'm legislative advocate for the California Immigrant Policy Center. I'll keep my comments brief. TPS holders have lived and worked in the U.S. since their original designation, starting as early as 1997 for individuals from Sudan. California is home to over 55,000 TPS holders, including those from El Salvador, Haiti, and Honduras. As Senator Hueso has testified, TPS beneficiaries throughout the world have deep roots in the state, as well as have contributed greatly to our economies. With the end of TPS for these countries, parents are put at risk of deportation, and thousands of families will be torn apart as early as November 2018. Both Republican and Democratic presidents in the past recognized the unstable conditions that exist to this day for countries that recently had their TPS designation ripped away from them. The heartless decision to terminate TPS for these countries ignores these conditions and continues the efforts of the federal administration to rip away all forms of immigration relief to many who call our country home. It is for these reasons that we respectfully ask for your support on SJR 17 as proposed to be amended. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there any other witnesses in support? Are there any witnesses in opposition? All right, seeing none, just a couple thoughts, and then I'll open it up if anyone else wishes to say anything. You know, and I think I share this with many people, that this is all motivated by fear-mongering. These are not dangerous people. These are our friends. These are people whose children play with our children. They are at no risk to us, and it really is clearly mean-spirited, dark, as you mentioned, and I would say cruel and heartless, what's going on here. There is just no reason for it other than to fan the flames of bigotry, of fear, of hatred, of all of the bad things that we try, I think, as a legislature to rise above, to be bigger than. And so I appreciate what you're doing here. It is just terrible policy to tear families apart and American citizens from their families to go back, as was earlier mentioned, into very, very dangerous circumstances. These people have done nothing to deserve this. And I want to thank you for bringing this resolution forward. I'm going to support it. Given the amendments that were taken by Senator Wilk, I'd like to urge you to consider revisiting conversations with him to see if we could possibly unite behind a single and bipartisan resolution, which I believe could have a significant impact. No one could accuse us of being partisan in this. I just think what they can accuse us of being is human beings who care and have compassion and empathy and concern for those people who are just trying to take care of their families, to be secure, and frankly, to benefit from the promises that America makes to people, particularly those who are coming to our shores to escape tyranny and danger. Same reasons my grandparents came over from Eastern Europe. They're here, and we have welcomed them and made them safe, and now we're basically casting them aside. I just don't think that's the American way, and I don't think that's the way members of this legislature feel. So I would be hopeful if you could, again, attempt to work something out with Senator Wilk so that we could get a bipartisan response. I think, again, that would be very meaningful. So with that, are there any other questions or comments? Senator Monning, followed by Senator Moorlach. Why don't you go ahead, Senator Moorlach?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to vote for this resolution as well. I'm having trouble with lines 28 through 33. I think the resolution as it's written was sincere, and then it kind of comes with a political smackdown. And I'm just wondering if we could just rise above that.
Can you read the one that you're?
Sure. It's whereas the administration's decision to end the temporary protected status designation for El Salvador aligns with the vulgar and racist comments made by President Trump on January 11. And I'm just wondering if that could be stricken so that we just have a clean resolution that could be supported on a bipartisan basis. That's
what about that troubles you? I just remind you that anything that we put in here was verified by legal counsel to be accurate. So this bill has actually undergone quite a bit of.
Senator, through the chair, please. I'd rather not have a colloquy here, but if you could, why don't you let Senator Moorlach finish his query, and then I'd certainly give you an opportunity to answer.
Well, he asked me if I was okay with removing it. Just
through the chair, please, Senator.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just having trouble, Senator Wayso, with always getting personal and making barbs. I think the issue here is TPS, and I'm with you there. And so I'm just saying, I think we'd get a lot more done in Sacramento if it wasn't always a tit for tat. That's his level. I don't want to go to that level. I want to just politely state our position, and then leave it there. And that's why I'm making the suggestion.
So I would suggest, I understand both points of view. One of the suggestions we had offered was to indicate that the vulgar and racist comments were reportedly made. But I think what I would like to do, given the fact that we're so similar here, to ask you to see if you couldn't work with Senator Wilk and come up with something. I don't dispute what you're saying. And if I could use every adjective in the book, it would be more extreme, because I share the concerns that this is very mean-spirited. But and that's the nicest thing I can say about the policy. But I think at this point, if we are trying to make a statement as a legislature that supports this policy, that tries to urge the government to rethink this effort, that, and as I had said before you got here, not necessarily a policy I followed, but my mother did her best to tell me that it was always better that you could catch more bees with honey than vinegar. And so I just throw that out as an option, and would just ask you, when you talk to Senator, if you would talk with Senator Wilk and see if you couldn't come up with some kind of a resolution to this that will send a very strong message to Washington about the policies that we would like to see here as a state. So that's just a, you don't have to respond to that, it's just a request. Senator Mone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I want to start by thanking the author for bringing this forward, as I did with Senator Wilk. And I think the focus on the administration's decision to suspend the temporary protected status for Salvadorans and the other nations indicated is the appropriate focus of this resolution. And I will leave it to you and the chair to determine what future steps might be taken. I won't repeat what I said earlier, but a little further commentary on the history of El Salvador. In 1980, March 24th of 1980, Archbishop Oscar Romero was assassinated while delivering mass. It was later learned that the death squad that took his life was working directly for President Dabusan, who was protected by the U.S. government, supported by the U.S. government at that time. Since that time, 38 years later, Archbishop Oscar Romero has now been granted sainthood by the Pope in the Catholic Church. And there was a whole generation of children born in the 1980s named Oscar. And of the population of 3 million, small country, total population 3 million, 1 million, close to 1 million, left El Salvador during the war, a third of the nation's population. If you compared that to our population, that would be a huge exodus. Many of them, not all, ended up in the United States, many in California, many in the East Coast, and as we've discussed, have become contributing, tax-paying members of our communities and our economy. Your resolution also points not just to displacement from civil war, but from natural disaster. In 1986, I was on a delegation of medical personnel responding to the earthquake in 1986, a 5.2 earthquake, 5.2. We have those in California. You just keep working through that. That one killed 900 people. It leveled a children's hospital in San Salvador because of poor construction, faulty materials, corruption, not enforced building codes. And the more recent one, much more severe in consequences. But just as they're not built to minimize loss in natural disasters, they're also not equipped to recover after natural disasters. So for so many reasons, if you look at the humanitarian objectives of our Constitution, our membership in the United Nations, our embracing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I just see no case to be made for sending families, dividing families, sending some family members a forced deportation back to a country that is still in economic distress and now in political distress, where it's one of the highest rates of violence anywhere in the world. And each of these countries listed has similar stories of natural disaster, political turmoil, and we've been the bastion, the U.S. government, the people of the United States, in providing sanctuary for people where our government has adjudged those conditions exist. So again, I applaud your leadership on this. I'm glad to move the bill and would just join the chair and the vice chair in encouraging exploration of making this a unified bipartisan resolution. I think that would send the strongest message possible to the people that we want to hear it. Thank you.
Senator Monning, any other comments? Senator Wesa, would you like to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, we have tried once before to work with Senator Wilk, probably not hard enough. I'll agree to that. And I see the wisdom in acting together, and we're going to give it another try. But I also see that there is lots of value in telling the truth and educating the community and putting things in a document that really reflect what we stand for and our values. And beyond a political tool, these are educational tools. And one day, people will reflect on our actions here and judge us by to what degree we took action to stand up something that is purely immoral. And I feel very strongly about that as well. And while I do want to work on a bipartisan solution to this, I think it's very important. It's always stronger sending a message to the president. But at the same time, I mean, when you look at the sheer numbers of what's happening here, this is preposterous. This is something that really demands a very strong response on behalf of our state, and I'm hoping that in a bipartisan way, we could send a very strong message, and we can agree that these actions by our president are solely his, and they're not motivated by any real interest in improving our economy and helping people and making us a better country. This affects 50,000 children just in California, 50,000 children that were born in California to some of these individuals under temporary protected status. What is going to happen to them? Are we going to ship them off with their parents as well? California residents, U.S. citizens, are we going to do that? Are we really not going to stand up for them and send the strongest message possible to Washington? There are just of the Salvadorian workers with TPS status, there are 34,000 of them in California, 34,000. That is the size of many of the cities in our districts. There are cities that have that amount of population in our districts. I mean, what is going to happen to the void and the vacancy being left by those workers, by those students, by what is going to be the economic impact to our state? Is it not important to us enough to speak loudly and send a very compelling message to Washington about how important this really is to us? And I will take your advice and the committee's advice, and we're going to work on this and see what, if anything, we can do to make this bipartisan, because I see the value in that. And I appreciate your support, at least, in bringing us together in this fashion. I think I will promise you that I work very hard to come up with something that we can agree on.
Thank you, Senator. I think we all appreciate your passion on this. The language says that we condemn the decision. That's pretty strong language. So I would ask you to consider that as we go forward, appreciate your willingness to enter in those discussions. And with that, we have a motion. The motion is that the resolution be adopted as amended to the Senate floor. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Morlock?
No.
Morlock, no. Anderson? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern. Witkowski.
Aye.
Witkowski, aye.
Okay. That bill has four votes. We'll hold the roll open. Let's go back and please call the roll on those other members. And if we could have, I believe it's just Senator Stern. I understand he's chairing his own committee, but if he could come in, we will make it quick. Senator Hertzberg, we're waiting on Senator Stern, but rather than force you to continue waiting.
It's okay, because I got to go to his committee.
That's a good point. All right. All right. We'll go ahead. Fair enough.
You're going to come back.
Okay, let's go ahead.
So sorry.
All right. No, it's okay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll on our consent calendar, file items 1 and 2. Please call the absent members.
Anderson, Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye.
All right, that bill has 6 votes, 6-0. The consent calendar is confirmed. Moving on to file item 3, SJR 16 by Senator Wilk. He has accepted the amendments to add all the other countries that we were talking about. The vote count is 4-0. Please call the absent members.
Anderson, Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye.
All right, 6-0. That resolution is out. And the last item is file item 4, SJR 17 by Senator Waso. As amended, please call the absent members.
Anderson? Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye.
All right, 5-1. That bill is out. That resolution is out. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.